All right. Today, being the 17th day of November, 2024, we are going to look at part number two of the lesson we were looking at entitled End Times Events. End Time Events from the book of Revelation. We're finishing out. This is the last lesson in this series of lessons entitled The True Story of the New Testament, Responding to Christ and His Commission. Now, last week we started this lesson, and I'm told you, I'm trying to give an overview of the book of Revelation, okay? And I'm trying to do this. I was trying to do it in 1 week. I know I couldn't do it in 1 week. Today is the second week, and I'm going to try to get through the rest of this for you. But today we are looking at several items in the bulletin. And if you'll look in your outline there in the bulletin today, we are under the two witnesses in Revelation chapter number 11. We're in the section C of part number 2 in the lesson. And I want you to be looking at this with me today. Again, I'm just going to go through these very quickly today. We'll be looking at Revelation chapter number 11 is where we're going to start. Now, these two witnesses, we begin here in verse number 3. God said that He's going to give power unto His two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now, 1,260 days. We know what 1,000 is, right? We know what 200 is, right? But what is 60? That is 3 times 20. So that is 1,260 days, all right? And they're going to prophesy. Now, this is looking at that second part of the 7 years of tribulation. This is the last 3.5 years of this time. This is when this is beginning. And these two witnesses, we don't know who that is. We don't know the men. A lot of folks say, oh, it's going to be Moses and Elijah. We don't know for sure. God knows who the witnesses are. But He's going to send those witnesses. And those two men of God are going to be sent to proclaim to the devil's crowd that this earth belongs to God and not unto Satan. Man, the world, the devil today thinks he's got the world by the tail. And he thinks he's in control of everything. But folks, I'm going to tell you tonight, we're still on the winning side. Amen. And God is in control. God is the one that's in control. And you can read about this in chapter number 11. These witnesses are going to do great wonders all through this chapter. And yet all those who see and all those who hear their witness for the Lord and what they proclaim, they're going to refuse to believe them. They're not going to believe what's happening. And by and by, as the time goes on with this, God is going to allow these two witnesses to be put to death. You see this here in chapter number 11. The Bible said here, let's go down to, let's see here, when they shall have finished, verse number 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, okay, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Where was our Lord crucified? Jerusalem. All right. And you're going to see just how wicked things have gotten during this time in the land of Jerusalem, in Israel. And all the people are going to see, look what it said. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the graves. Now think about this, folks. The whole world is going to see all of this. None of this could have happened many years ago. But now, due to satellite, worldwide television, internet, okay, social media, and all these other things, you can see something that's happening across the world You know, for 15 weeks or so, I preached and taught in New Zealand, 8,652 miles away, okay, on Saturday evening while it was Sunday morning over there. Okay, Brother Howell has been teaching here for Sunday school from his home there in New Zealand. And you can see things around the world instantaneously now. We're living in this day. All this technology is available, and it is fulfilling what the Bible said would happen. Think about this, folks. All of these things, we're just waiting for the Lord Jesus to take us out of here. And then all these other things are going to take place. Now look what the Bible said. Verse number 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. Think about this. This is how wicked they are. They're going to rejoice because they've been, the men of God have been put to death. They're going to rejoice in that. Listen, that spirit is already being seen around the world. That spirit is being seen in the United States today. They want to do away with Israel. They want to do away with the Jewish people. They want to do away with the people of God. That spirit of Antichrist, okay, is alive and well in our world today. But it's going to come to fruition here. And they're going to kill these witnesses. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. And look at this. And shall send gifts one to another. They're going to have gifts given out because the men of God are dead. They're laid in the streets. People are going by and spitting on their bodies and seeing them and probably kicking at them and everything else for 3.5 days because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Well, you know what? They didn't like truth. And again, the Spirit of God is not there. Listen, they've rejected truth. The world has rejected truth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God, look at that, verse number 11. The Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. I bet it did, or is going to anyway. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And then you see all that happens after this. Listen, we're seeing these things. John is telling what's going to happen. And he is writing to us and showing that these things are going to happen. Then you get into chapters 12 through 18. And there are three sets of things that you're going to see. You're going to see seven personages. Okay, I've listed as personages or people. Things, you're going to see seven bowls, the judgments that come, and then you're going to see two Babylons that are mentioned. Two Babylons in the Bible, chapters 12 through 18. I'm just going to give you quickly these seven people, these seven personages that are listed here in these chapters, all right? In chapter 12 here, it begins in chapter 12, the woman in verse 1 and 2, okay, representing here the nation of Israel. The second person is the red dragon, verses 3 and 4. And then again down in verse number 9, the great dragon that's cast out, that old serpent. And who is that? It's the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Okay? That serpent was seen first back in the book of Genesis. You remember that? He came and he tempted Eve, caused Adam to disobey the word of God. The third personage we're going to look at here in verse 5 and 6, the man here seen, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse number 7 through 12, we see the archangel Michael. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And who again is the dragon? That's Satan, Lucifer, okay? All right. Then number 5, the remnant that's described here in verses 13 through 17 of chapter number 12, all right? That remnant is that godly minority there in Israel, all right? And the Bible said the remnant of her seed, talking about the woman's seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's that remnant that's left. Then, number six, as you go into chapter 13 here, beginning in verses 1 through 10, you're going to see the beast coming out of the sea, okay? All right? It's the Antichrist that's empowered by Satan himself, all right? Satan is going to have that power to give that Antichrist the power that he does to defy God. And then number 7 in verses 11 through 18 of chapter 13, we see the beast out of the earth, who is that false prophet. That false prophet who's going to influence and promote worship of the Antichrist through what? Through religion. Not relationship, but through religion. In the name of religion, they're going to try to worship the Antichrist. Now, folks, listen to me. These things are going to come to pass. These are part of those end time events. We're going to be in heaven. This is going to be happening on earth. Boy, that's a big contrast. And you're going to see a lot of things here that's described in the Word of God. It's going to happen. Now we get into, we're going to go down to chapter number 16. Let me skip over to chapter 16 just a few moments here. We're talking about plagues and things like that. And getting into chapter 16, we see these seven bowls. These are the last seven plagues that are seen. All right? And in Revelation chapter 16, beginning here in verse number 1 and 2, there are grievous sores that are going to be poured out upon those inhabitants on the earth. Those who have rejected God, those who have not already died through all the other plagues and the earthquakes and all the things that happen, those folks that are left are going to be great and grievous sores poured out upon them. Verse 3, the sea is turned into blood. Can you imagine that? And I think that God is reminding them, listen, the solution to all of our problems is the blood of Jesus Christ. And folks, listen to me. All the seas, I can't imagine the seas. You remember in Pharaoh's day when Moses touched the waters and the Nile became blood and every vessel that they had, drinking water and everything else, was turned into blood, all right? There was blood, speaking of judgment and speaking of you know, what Christ was going to come and do, shed his blood to pay the judgment for your sin and for mine. But everything's going to be turned into blood. Look at verses 4 through 7. All the drinking water upon the earth is turned into blood. Verses 8 and 9. Then God pours out intense heat. All right? In verses 8 and 9 of chapter 16. And the heat scorches the earth and its inhabitants. Man, can you imagine what they're going to be going through? And then verses 10 and 11, great darkness is poured out upon the kingdom of Antichrist. My goodness. Then verse 12, the river Euphrates. Now, you know, they're talking nowadays, the river Euphrates has begun drying up, you know, of all the things that's going on. But on this day, when this great tribulation is going on upon this earth, the Bible said in verse number 12 that the river Euphrates is dried up in preparation for that great army of our Lord's adversary to come against the nation of Israel. All of these things are going to come to pass. We're seeing precursors of all those things happening in our world today. But that we're not in this tribulation period. This is after the church has been taken out and God's wrath is going to be poured down upon those who rejected Christ, who rebelled against God and his word, and followed after Satan and his Antichrist. Folks, it's going to happen. And then you look at verses 17 through 21. God here pours out his wrath in the form of a great earthquake to destroy those cities and those nations who stood against the Lord God. And in verse 21, look at this. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. Okay? A talent. I looked this up. And the dictionary said a talent was 129 pounds and 14 ounces. Boy, that is a hailstone. Can you imagine getting hit in the head with that? Can you imagine the destruction that it's going to cause when it falls upon this earth and these great hailstones falling and pounding? Man, because these folks were unwilling to repent of their sin and turn unto God. And then here in chapter 17, we see the end of that religious Babylon. That religious Babylon and the one world church. And I want you to see this today in verse number 5. Look at it. It's written in big bold letters. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Can you imagine? That's a wicked testimony to have. Something totally contrary to everything that God desired for any man, woman, boy, or girl upon this earth. It's a great mystery that they would reject and turn away God, and they would rebel against God. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Then I want you to look here at chapter number 18. Chapter number 18. After these things, I saw another angel. And in chapter 18 here, we see the end of that political Babylon. Chapter 17 is the religious Babylon. But here in chapter 18, we're seeing the rid of the political Babylon, the scarlet beast that was talked about earlier in chapter 17, verse number 3 here. It says, so he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon the scarlet covered beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. All right. Chapter 18 talks about the ridding of the political Babylon. And folks, listen to me. The saints of God, okay, you and I, the saints of God, we would rejoice to see that destruction because it was contrary to the Word of God. Everything that these two Babylons represented was totally against God. And folks, our world today, we're seeing all these things coming together today. All these religions. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, where the Pope was bringing all these different religions together and saying to them, we're all God's children. We all have to come together as one to worship God. Folks, all the pieces of the puzzle are getting ready. They're being laid on the board, and God is going to put them together. And you're going to see it happen. Then we get into chapter 19. And in chapter 19, we see the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, during the month of December, we celebrate the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are a lot of folks today that say, well, you really think he's coming the second time? Listen, if his word said he was coming the first time, and he did, and his word says he's coming the second time, and he will, we can rest assured that God's going to do what God said he's going to do. We know it's going to happen. And in chapter 19, beginning here in verses 1 through 9, we see the marriage of the Lamb. And here John sees and he describes some great rejoicing going on in heaven. It's over our Lord's destruction of these two Babylons here in verses 1 through 6. There's great rejoicing over all of that. And then we see here in celebration that the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath made herself ready. Boy, that's you and me. And folks, listen to me today. I cannot understand how that God would love a wicked wretch like me and be willing to save someone like me so I could escape all this judgment for sin that's coming. But folks, we've got something to be thankful for today. And as you read here, especially Revelation chapters 19 all the way through 22, and you see the differences between what's going on in the world and what's going on with God in heaven, with our Savior, well, you need to be thankful that you're saved today. The world is not going to experience any joy at this time. There's not going to be joy for the world. Revelation chapter 19 here talks about this, the bride of Christ, but what a day that's going to be. And I want you to see here the joys that are being experienced in heaven as you read this, while at the same time all the sorrows and the destruction and everything that's going on in the earth in the previous chapters. There's a great contrast here. Then we're going to see in chapter 19, verses 11 through 21, this helps us to understand that we are on the winning side today, folks. We're on the winning side, and we see the defeat of the Antichrist here, okay? After the Great Supper, we read what happens to the devil and his crowd of God rejectors upon this earth. In verses 11 through 21, we see this. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, look at it. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. Folks, we're seeing false prophets today on TV proposing that they are committing great miracles and doing great things. It's only a precursor of what's going to come to a deceived world. Don't be deceived by these folks that are doing stuff like this. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. They were deceivers. They're going to suffer the judgment of God for deceiving people. Then look at verse 21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Man. And then we read how Satan is bound up in chains of righteousness, and he's cast into the bottomless pit, but only for a short time, as we read here in chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. Now, I want you to look at this today. Chapters 20, verses 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. What is happening? In verses 4 through 6, the millennial kingdom is seen. Amen. Brother, what a day that's going to be. And you look at this. Here, Satan with all his host of evil, finally defeated imps, Jesus Christ will establish his millennial rule upon this earth. For 1,000 years, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And we see several things that's going to happen during this time. Look at verse 4, chapter 20, verse number 4. John writes here, and he says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Man, think about it. Those tribulation martyrs that never heard the gospel, and the 144,000 Jews, men, that went and witnessed. They heard the message of the gospel. They trusted Christ. They did not receive the mark of the beast. They were put to death. They were martyred, okay, for the cause of Christ. Look at verse number 5. This is the first resurrection. And then in verse number 6, it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Man, think about that, folks. What a blessing it is to know that you know Christ as your Savior. Amen. The touch of that second death has no power upon us. Nothing. And don't forget what we read in Revelation chapter 19, verse 21. Look at this. about all those who rejected the Lord and did not die during those days after all those judgments were placed upon the earth. Look at this. There John writes, and the remnant that were slain, the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Can you imagine what a day that's going to be? Oh, my soul. Think about it, folks. Just think about it. Now, all those millions upon millions who died without receiving Christ as their Savior, millions upon millions of people, those folks, look at verse number 5, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 5. The Bible said those dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. You say they lived not again? What in the world does that mean? What does that mean, preacher? Well, basically, though they died in their sin because they had rejected Christ as their Savior, and though they had physically died, the Bible says that they will be raised to life so as to stand before God for their final sentencing, that great white throne judgment. They're going to stand before God. I liken it sometimes to somebody going to jail and then coming before the judge to have the sentence read, and they're cast into prison the rest of their life. And folks, you think about this, to be separated from God. Those folks that had no fear of the Almighty, they had no fear of God in their lives. They only rejected, they only rebelled against God. There's a group here in Westminster right now, and my wife showed me this on Facebook. There's a group of witches and warlocks and Wiccans and all this other garbage right here in Westminster. They got a store right down here. They sell all their enchantments and all this other stuff, making fun of those that love God. They had a high worship day on Halloween, okay? And they brought in all the folks that are contrary to what God's Word says, that believe that there is more than two genders, and they're men with men and women with women and animals and all these other things. Folks, they've rejected God. And unless they get saved, this is their ending. And you think about it. When that body is raised from the grave, those bodies are in the grave. Their soul is in hell. But they too will be joined once again together and stand before God. And as Jesus told the people back in the Gospels, he told them, he said, you better fear the one that has the power to cast both body and soul into the lake of fire. You ought to fear him. They had no fear. And what a sad day it's going to be. Then we see the release and the revolt of Satan in chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. Here, God gives for that 1,000 years upon this earth. There are going to be children that are going to be born, okay, upon this earth during that time. There are going to be folks born during that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ who've been living under that peaceful environment of the rod of iron that the Lord Jesus has upon this earth. But they're going to be given the opportunity to make a choice. Who are they going to serve? What are they going to do? Will they receive Christ or will they not? And those folks are going to have the opportunity. And Satan's going to be loosed for a little season. You read about it here in verses 7 through 10. And they're going to be able to make the choice. What are they going to do? Well, you know what? There's going to be a sad day. Let me just read this, verses 7 through 10 to you. Look at it with me. They've lived under a perfectly peaceful physical environment. And now beginning in verse number 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison. And he's going to go forth out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number of them is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. We know that to be Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Now look at this. They're not burned up. They're not annihilated, okay, as many false religions teach. They're still there. The beast and the false prophet still burning in hell. And the devil is cast in the lake of fire of brimstone. And the beast and the false prophet are still there and shall be tormented day and night forever. And folks, I want you to understand something. Because they rejected the Savior is the reason that they're in hell. They rejected the Savior. And in verses 11 through 15, we see the great white throne judgment. The last and final judgment for sin will be this white throne judgment seen in Revelation chapter 20. Look at it. Begin here in verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. What books? All 66 of them. The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. Death and hell. Death, talking about the physical grave. Hell, here speaking about where the soul of those who died without Christ went. And both body and soul are going to be joined back together. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Hey, listen. We were religious. Yeah, but you were lost. You rejected the true Savior. They're going to stand before God. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 tells us that death here, referring to the body, that body that was in the graves, that hell here, referring to that soul, they're all cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. You and I don't have to worry about the second death because we know Christ is our Savior. We're with Him. We're here in the grandstands of heaven at this time. Amen. We're watching these folks being cast into hell. Why? Because they rejected Christ as their Savior. What a sad day it's going to be, folks. And how sad to think that at this point in time, it's eternally too late for them to do anything different. For those that are lost, it's eternally too late for them to ever be saved. For those who are saved, it's now eternally too late to go back and win that lost loved one that they had on this earth. You can't go back now and tell that loved one you thought, man, if I tell them they're going to get mad, and you just avoided it. You've said, no, I'll wait. Now it's too late. No more soul winning during this time. No more. Two no mores, folks. You think about that today. This is why you and I need revival today. Amen. We need revival. We need a burden for souls. Amen. Before the Lord Jesus comes back and takes us out, and before those who are lost go through all of these things, we need revival. We need to be concerned for souls. Yes. Next week, you come back, I'll finish out this last section. But today, I want you to pray. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival. Lord, send a revival. And let it begin with me. Amen. Father, thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have today to be able to teach these lessons and show us of the things that are going to come in those last days. And Father, I pray, God, that you'll speak to our hearts today. Help us, Lord, to see our need as born-again believers for true revival. And I pray, dear God, that you'll help us to get a burden for lost souls, those that are around us, Lord, today that do not yet know you as their Savior. God, give us a burden for them today that we might win them before it's eternally too late. Father, please speak through the man of God today. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday School.